Whatever happens while I'm preaching here with this ailment, don't let it in any way get in the way of the Word of God coming to you this morning. Today is a special Sunday morning service because it's going to culminate in the baptism of Jesse Martinez. Otherwise known as Jesse the Younger or Jay. So in light of this, it's a good time to have a refresher course on the two ordinances that Jesus has given to the church. One, of course, is the Lord's Supper. And the other is what we will be doing and witnessing this morning. Water baptism. So in light of that, if you would, please turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 28, I will be in a moment reading verses 19 and 20. Father, thank you for your Son. We thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit who has applied the work of your Son to most, if not all of us. Oh, I hope. All of us, through regeneration and new birth, eyes to see and ears to hear. And through the midst of this ailment, use this broken pot of clay, because what you have given to us to flow through me this morning is the precious jewel of your holy word and gospel. Let it come forth through Jesus Christ. Amen. So if you're there, right before verse 19, of course, this is right before Jesus' ascension to heaven after 40 days of teaching and eating and hanging out with many, many people after his resurrection. He says to his apostles, all power and authority has been given to me in heaven on earth. Now verse 19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So, go, tell them, go tell it on the mountain. And what happens? People, not all, but those whom he calls have ears to hear. They become disciples in the hearing of the gospel of Jesus because now they believe in him. And we just spent 30 weeks in this church working our way through the gospel, which is laid out in Romans chapters 1 through 4. So let's hear it again in a nutshell. Every human being born into this world is born into sin. Adam, the first man, sinned and doomed us all. We are born as children of wrath, without hope and without God, because we, at the core of our being, are indifferent to God. And therefore, every one of us is born guilty. And not just by our nature, but that nature has expressed itself time and time again in our thoughts and in our deeds, in our works. We are guilty before God, falling short of God's glory by rejecting Him, the one true God. And you say, where's the good news? That's part of it. If you don't know that, you don't know what Jesus is all about. And so here we stand, Paul tells us in Romans. Sinful. What do you do? Tell me what I can do. Do I become religious? Do I perform rituals? Do I take God's moral law that He gave through Moses? Let me have more good deeds than bad deeds. Can I do that in order to be forgiven for my sins and accepted back to God? And the answer is, you can't. There is no work. There is no deed that anyone can do that Jesse could do in order to be forgiven of his sins and accepted by God. That's what Paul brought us to. And then he gets into chapter 3, the gospel, which means good news. And the good news is that God sent his eternal Son to become a human being in order that he would live in perfect obedience and righteousness. Because he was born without the sin nature that we all have. He is God manifested in the flesh. And he did what our first representative, Adam, failed to do. Adam disobeyed in unrighteousness and sinned. And thus we all sinned in him. The second Adam, the second man, God himself become a human being, perfectly obeyed as our representative. And all who were found in Jesus Christ have his perfect righteousness attributed to them. But in sending him, he first had to die. And God put him on the cross, and what he did is he imputed the sins of every human being who would ever believe in Jesus. He imputed them or reckoned them to him, and there he enacted his holy justice and righteousness and wrath against our sins. The penalty in Christ was paid in full. And now through Christ, God justly, without denying himself, forgives all the sins of every sinner who believes in Jesus. And God confirmed the price that Jesus paid on that cross by raising him from the dead. From human death to human immortality forever, and he's the promise, the first fruits of the resurrection, which is coming to all God's people. There's no you in that so far. There's no Jesse in that. We just talked about what God the Father did in sending his Son and what the Son did in laying down his life and God raising him from the dead and the promise he gave. God did something apart from us. So the question then comes in the book of Romans that we've been going through, well, what must I do? Anything? How do I get connected with that? How do I get all my sins forgiven? How do I get the judgment day and condemnation removed? How do I get God to declare me righteous, though I'm a sinner? How do I get assured of the future resurrection of the dead to enjoy God forever? And the simple answer is, believe the message. Believe is the verb. Faith is the noun. We are saved or justified by faith alone, apart from any works of the law. As Paul goes on to declare in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Because it is with the heart that one believes and is declared righteous. And with the mouth, one confesses and is saved. So, this morning before Jesse goes underneath the water, I'm going to ask him, do you believe that? And he does. That's why we're here. So, what we see from the gospel, which is so clear, is that we sinners who are getting saved by Christ, we are saved by faith in Christ alone. We're not saved by faith plus works. We're not saved by faith plus water baptism. So the question is, what is this then? What is this water baptism that we are doing this morning? Here's a simple way to say it. It's the sign of the new covenant. There was an old covenant. And the Old Testament talks about the Old Covenant as it promises the New Covenant. The Old Covenant, they had a sign of the covenant. It was called circumcision. And Israel, and the tribes of Israel, and the Jews down through the centuries, to be in that covenant, those males had to have the sign of the covenant. Of circumcision. But that sign of the covenant, and I'm in the covenant with God in the old covenant under Moses, did not mean they were necessarily saved, forgiven of their sins, born again, indwelt by the Spirit. That's why Jeremiah prophesies, I'm going to make a new covenant, says the Lord, not like the covenant I made with the house of Israel. After those days when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, but this is the covenant I will make with them. I will put my Spirit within them, and I will cause them to obey me. And they shall not look and have to say to one another, know the Lord. Why? Because they shall all know me. Here's the point. Every person on earth today who is in the new covenant actually is born again. They have been made a new creature in Christ. God has raised them spiritually from the dead. That's what that miracle of new birth is. The old man is put away, the new man has risen. How do you know it's you? The evidence of that is saving faith. So we come to faith. And that faith produces something. First, it produces, I believe. It's a confession. And then whether it's the next minute or the next hour or the next month or the next week, when that happened to me at age 19 in 1981, and I look back, I'm pretty sure that's when that happened there because I was all by myself at home and I wasn't connected to a church. Took me a while to find my way to a local church under God's providence. Oh, my confession was there. Then they made me wait 2-3 months until the next baptism. But then I was baptized. That confession then comes forth publicly and is demonstrated, this is baptism, by submitting to water baptism. As Jesus commanded right before his ascension, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Go, preach, teach. Then those who believe, who become disciples, baptize them. Like when Paul and his group met a bunch of women down by a river on a Saturday afternoon outside Philippi one time. And the book of Acts chapter 16 tells us this. One who heard what Paul was saying, one who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods. The Lord opened her heart. There's new birth. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. In the next line, and she was baptized. So, the gospel goes. You got to hear it. You got to know it. It's got to be preached to you. You got to read it. How are they going to believe in him of whom they haven't heard? How are they going to hear without the preacher? So people, what? They hear the gospel and they come alive to faith in Jesus. And then they're baptized as their public confession of their embracing of the gospel. And that baptism, which it means immersion underneath the water, that immersion in water, what's happening? It's signifying the internal spiritual reality of being identified with Jesus' death on the cross. And Jesse, we won't leave you under the water for too long. And when I bring you up out of the water, that is signifying Jesus' resurrection from the dead. But it's also signifying something else. Your already spiritual resurrection from the dead. Your new birth, your new life by the Holy Spirit in Christ. Where do I get it? Turn there. Romans 6. Romans chapter 6. Verses 3 to 4. Christians, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we also might walk in newness of life. Here it is. Well, what Paul is referring to here is not water baptism itself. He's referring to what that water baptism pictured about the person. The miracle of new birth, which the evidence of that is saving faith, that miracle of new birth means to every one of us who is a believer and has been baptized, it means that you died with Christ. And you have been raised to new life by the Holy Spirit in Christ. Okay, Jesse, that's you. Now what? Go under the water and symbolize this death to your old way of life. And then come up out of the water, picturing the beginning of your new life in Christ. You're a new creation in Christ. Listen to how Colossians, turn over there for a second. Chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 to 14 puts this. In Him, Christ, also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. He means by the Spirit of Christ. Putting off the body of the flesh. He's describing new birth there. Regeneration. Putting off the body of the flesh. How? By the circumcision of Christ. Listen to him. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised from him Jesus from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh as a Gentile, God made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. How? By canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. How? This he set aside by nailing it to the cross. So don't miss it. Baptism gets its meaning from the death of our Lord Jesus Christ as our substitute on the cross and from his triumphal resurrection from the dead. And those two, this is the great news, it's the gospel. They guarantee our new now and in the future, everlasting resurrection life to enjoy God forever. That's what we're doing. But baptism, it's not about a coming of age ritual. It's about timing. It's not what it is. This ordinance of the church is mainly about Jesus Christ and his historical, magnificent work of salvation in dying for our sins and rising for our justification. Being baptized is therefore this morning Jesse's public confession of faith, of embracing the gospel. It's the public proclamation of the gospel, which is this message that God did. I'm over here. Didn't mention my name. His baptism, you Christians, think back about your baptism was your public proclamation of that gospel is very personal to me. He did that. Who can withhold water to baptize these people? Peter declared. One more thing. Baptism also signifies our identification with Christ's church. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you will. I mean, Philip, he had to be in Christ and be baptized. He's a member of Christ's church. I mean, how else is the Ethiopian eunuch going to get baptized unless someone preceded him? And we've all been preceded by Christ's church, and Paul writes this to the church in Corinth, starting with verse 12 of chapter 12, 1 Corinthians. For just as the body, takes the human body as an analogy, here we got one body, just as the body is one and has many members, yep, hands, feet, legs, liver, internal organs, toes, yes, many members, and yet, though it's got many members, it's only one body. So it is with Christ. There it is. One body. many members. So it is with Christ. Now watch this connection. For in one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Jews or Greeks, or slaves or free, we're all made to drink of one Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, in the preaching of the gospel, He comes and He regenerates. Now the way the New Testament puts it, He puts that person into Christ. It's mystical. It's spiritual. There's one universal church in that sense of the living and the dead, we confess in our creed. One. But then there are many, many. Because after so doing, however long that takes, took me about 8-9 months, He then puts that person into His community down here on earth called the local church. And baptism symbolizes this identification with Christ's body, the church, which on the spiritual level happened the instant the person came to faith. It could have been all alone, like I was, or it could have been with somebody. But then He puts them into the one body. They're one member of it. And baptism is this statement, yes, I died with Christ. I rose with Christ. And I'm one of them. These other peculiar people who believe God raised a dead man to immortality and will one day raise me. And that's why for 2,000 years at this point, Jesus' people have been obeying His words that He gave to the apostles. Make disciples and baptize them. About a week and a half after Jesus said that, on the day when the church was born, on the day of Pentecost, the apostle Peter preached to a massive crowd in the outer court of the temple. Hear it. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through Him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. But God raised Him up, loosing the pangs of death because it was not possible for Him to be held by death. And being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, He has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. So let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made Him both Lord and Christ. This Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. Circumcision, maybe? When they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So, every one of us in this room who is a Christian, take the opportunity with Jesse's baptism to reflect back on yours again. Oh, it's a special ordinance. And it means that every single one of us in this room who is a Christian, we all, including Jesse, were born into sin and guilt before God. And it means, though, when the gospel message was heard, as the Holy Spirit caused us to come alive to it, have ears to hear, eyes to see, raised us from death to life, what happened? Faith appeared. I believe. At that moment, that happened to Jesse, he was put into Christ, saved, justified. And now this morning, like the rest of us who are believers, he will receive the sign of that new covenant. The sign of repentant faith in Christ. It's the sign of water baptism. Praise God, I can't wait. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this special day. Oh, I remember that day back in early 1982, going under the waters of baptism. What a special ritual and moment. And we're assured, Father, by your grace, this will be that for Jesse the younger. To the glory of your holy name. Now, Lord, in light of our baptisms, cause again the praise of your Son to ring through us as we prepare to the glory of your holy name. Amen and amen. Please stand.